This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding, counter spy.
Classic radio theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now, step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
An episode of radio's outstanding theater of thrill suspense from the year I was born, July 18th, 1956. Tony Barrett and William Conrad star in an episode, The Man Who Threw Acid.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, suspense. Story of a man who wanted to become important and the crime he committed to accomplish it. So now, starring Mr. Tony Barrett with Mr. William Conrad, here is tonight's suspense play, The Man Who Threw Acid. A young man serving his second year in the city assembly. And because he believed in honest government, he wanted to enact restraining legislation against the racketeers. At first, the older men, the wheels of the political machine, laughed at him, patted him on the back, gave him a cigar. They liked him because he reminded them of their lost ideals, wasted energies. And then they began to listen to him, wondering. The young assemblyman said in council,
I wasn't elected to this office to see my wife and kids or anybody else's wife and kids dictated to by the racketeers and the hoodlums in this city. That's what's happening. Dope, gambling, mugging, the protection racket started again. If the chief of police won't or can't do anything about it, I say we should. Make laws. Put teeth in them. Get rid of the big boys who run the rackets and we'll have a clean city.
It wasn't a brilliant speech, not in content or in delivery, but it made its point. And the young assemblyman kept on making his point. The older, wiser city fathers began to take notice. So did the press. And so did the big boys, the racketeers. And the man who was considered the boss called a meeting. There was no red tape involved, no orders in triplicate, a simple direct edict from the top. And the organization was such that by 7 o'clock that evening, the hireling had been contacted. His name was Steve Kleiber, a thin, pasty-faced man of 42 who looked no more than 35. He lived on the fringes of gangster society, and like so many of his kind, was still considered a punk. He was desperately trying to gain a toehold before it was too late, because a middle-aged punk is the lowest form of underworld life, a lackey. The boss's contact explained the situation about the assemblyman.
That's a snap, Steve.
Just throw acid in his face and beat him?
Yeah, that's it.
200?
For doing nothing.
You get the acid for me.
Sure, Steve.
You put the finger in?
Ah, it'll be all set.
There's nothing else to
it? I told you.
This assembly guy, he's important.
Ah, look, you want the job. It's none of your business, how come? Just do you want to do it?
Oh, I'm just thinking, maybe. If it is kind of important and you want me, maybe you put in a word for me, huh? With the boss, maybe?
Oh, no, Steve. The boss don't know anything about this. It's a private grudge.
Oh. Okay, sure. You gonna pay me now?
Half now. The other 100 when you've done it.
Yeah. Okay.
Kleiber was told to wait until he was contacted again. Then the asset would be delivered to him with further instructions. The hired man went home to his apartment and to his girl. He was happy. He had a big job. He had been accepted by the mob. Perhaps his luck had changed. He told his girl,
$200, honey, this could be it. What I've been waiting for. Just a drop in a bucket to what I'll get in the next job.
Oh, that's swell, Stevie. Well, what have they got you doing?
Honey, you know better than ask. But I tell you this, it's big. Oh, I'll tell you that. Some of the wise guys are going to be saying hello to Steve Kleiber before long.
You going to take me out for Chinese dinner for celebration?
Sure, I will. We'll have anything. Anything you want.
It was a night for celebration because plans had been made to throw acid in a man's face. The boss celebrated and took his wife to a movie. The contact man celebrated, got drunk, and cried about his dead mother. And Steve Kleiber went to bed with indigestion following a too-rich dinner. The assemblyman sat up late into the night writing the draft of an anti-racketeer speech to be made at Rotary the next day. A week later, Kleiber received a phone call. He was told to meet his contact in the park at 11 o'clock. He went to the designated place.
Hi, Steve. You're on time. That's good. Can't get ahead, boy.
I don't like being late.
Now, here's the stuff in this bag. It's in a pint jar with a wide mouth. That way you won't have as much chance missing. Oh, you better wear a glove, too. You don't want to get burned. There's a glove in the bag. Are you right-handed?
Lefty.
So wear it on the left hand. It won't matter.
When will I do it?
5:30.
Today?
Yeah.
What?
You'll be coming out of the athletic club. He's got a 6 o'clock appointment. You'll leave the club about 5:30.
How am I going to know him?
Pictures, yeah. Take a look at him.
Yeah.
Now, he looks like these pictures, so you won't have to worry. You can't miss him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I keep these?
Yeah.
What do I do after I throw this stuff?
Ditch the bottle. Break it. And don't touch it without you wearing a glove. No prints on it.
Okay. Then what?
Take off.
Ain't gonna have a car to pick me up?
It's too risky. Cars can be traced. Someone sees a license. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have any trouble, though. It's a quiet street. Buildings near the wood. You know, it is on the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right off the main drag. Just get lost in the crowd and don't run. By the time anyone figures out what happened, well, you ought to be home.
Hey, seems to me I'm taking some chance for a lousy 200.
Give me back what I gave you. I'll get somebody else.
No, wait. It's okay. But I sure hope you guys appreciate the risk I'm taking.
We appreciate it. Oh, and Steve.
Yeah.
Things should go wrong. Like say you do get picked up. You don't talk. No names. Not even one.
Oh, nobody gets me to talk.
That's my boy. No. Can't be seeing me. You come around to the bar for your dough when it's finished, and I'll leave it there for you.
July 18th, 1956. Suspense on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. Bible, 833-34-BIBLE.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll and go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-95 8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our Buy One, Get One free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get Pain Magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Tony Barrett was born Martin Lefkowitz in 1916. He passed away in 1974. He was an actor, writer, producer, mostly television writing and producing, and he was a screenwriter as well as a radio and screen actor. And you hear him today in a starring role in this episode of Suspense, The Man Who Threw Acid, with narrator William Conrad. This episode broadcast July 18th, 1956.
He had 6 hours to kill before doing the job. Standing outside the entrance to the park, he was undecided. 6 hours. And he moved casually to the bus stop and correctly, obediently took his place in line behind three other passengers as the bus pulled in. A very ordinary man, carrying a paper sack, in which was a jar of acid and a glove. He went to a favorite hangout, a bar at the east end of town, not because he needed a drink. He wasn't nervous, but rather because he hoped to run into some of the boys. Well, he wouldn't tell them anything, but he'd let them understand that he was onto something big.
Hey, what do you say, Harry?
Steve.
And the boys been in, huh?
Not early. What's it gonna be? You want a beer?
Nothing like that. Something fancy. I'm celebrating, boy. Give me something fancy.
What do you want?
Oh, I don't know. Something with bourbon, huh? Good bourbon.
Soda, water.
Old-fashioned, huh? Put everything in it. Make an old-fashioned. Oh, make one for yourself, Harry. And me.
Too early.
Come on, help me celebrate.
I never celebrate till after 5.
Well, at 5, I'm going to be tied up. I'm sorry, at 5, I got an appointment. Big appointment.
Uh-huh.
How are you, Harry?
Morning, Lou. How's everything?
Oh, it couldn't be better.
Fine.
Hey, what do you say, Lou?
Oh, Steve.
Well, you've been kidding yourself, huh?
Go around.
Hey, Harry, break a quarter for me. I got to make a phone call.
Yeah, sure.
How about joining me, Lou? Old-fashioned.
Oh, no.
That's a good drink. Say, Lou, you got any good tips? I got
here's
a few...
change, Lou.
Oh, thanks. Lou?
What?
I said anything good running the day. Thought I'd put 50 across the board if you got...
Where'd you get 50 bucks, punk?
You know, it's funny the way you guys call me. That's really funny.
Old-fashioned. 65 cents.
Huh? Oh, sure.
Sure.
Thanks, Harry. Hope you can change your 20. It's the smallest I got. Yeah, Lou, that's what it is. Hearing you guys call me punk is pretty funny. You got a little surprise coming to you, boy.
Yeah? Well, I'll live.
Thanks, Harry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Forget the tip, Lou. I just thought I'd do you a favor, give you a fin if the horse comes through, but from now on, I do my business uptown direct.
You do that.
nerve of that guy, you hear him? Small time, and he's calling me... Oh, it's good old-fashioned, Harry. That's the best. You sure know how to make them, all right?
The drink was too sweet. He didn't like it. But it was gulped down. He wanted to show them the bottle of acid. Tell them. That would make them know he wasn't a punk anymore. Instead, he pocketed his change and sauntered out. There was little better than 5 hours to kill. So he went to a movie. It was a triple feature. And when he came out, blinking in the strong sunlight, the time was 4 o'clock. Holding the paper's sack carefully, he took a bus uptown and noted the traffic was getting heavy. At 4:30, he walked past the athletic club and into a drugstore across the street. Sitting at the counter, he leafed through a detective magazine and drank 2 large Cokes. The assemblyman had played handball, taken a shower, and by 5 o'clock was dressed and on his way out. His companion suggested a cocktail, but because of his appointment at 6, he begged off.
Wish I could, but it'll take me an hour to get out there. We'll take a rain check for next week. So long. Say hello to the wife and kid.
Steve Kleiber was waiting outside the drugstore when the assemblyman emerged from the athletic club. He recognized the man immediately and crossed the street. By the time the assemblyman reached his car and was unlocking the door, Kleiber was behind him, the jar held firmly in his gloved hand. There was no one else in sight.
Hey, mister.
Yes?
Here's something for you.
Steve Kleiber didn't see the assemblyman clawing at his face. He dashed the jar to the street and ran to the corner, and a moment was lost among the 5 o'clock homecoming crowds. He felt pride in the smoothness of his accomplishment. His nerve had held up. He proved himself as a man to be trusted. Any punk could do a good job with a gun, but he had performed a task few men could have done better. Cold, sure, perfect timing. He went home to his girl, and as he relived the moment in telling, he felt himself become flushed, hot with excitement.
Oh, I figured it out, see? Just like a shotgun. You know how when you shoot a shotgun, the lead spreads out? So I figured the same with the acid. Get close enough, just close enough so it won't spread. I was 3 feet. 3 feet, that's when I said, hey, mister. And he turned around. Boy, he could have put me on the Olympics the way I took off. You should have seen me go.
I'm glad I didn't.
Huh? Well, honey, I'm just telling you
that's an awful thing, doing a thing like that.
I don't get you. It's a job, that's all.
How come you didn't tell me that's what you were going to do?
Why should I tell you? It's none of your business. To tell you now, because I thought you'd be interested.
I'm not.
Well, that's a fine thing.
I'm hungry. Let's go eat.
No. Think of a couple of days, lay low, just to be sure, you know? Well, look, you go on down to Delicatessen and get some stuff. Same lady can go down to Harry's and pick up $100 for me. He'll be there.
By 7 o'clock, the extras were on the street. By 10 that night, the entire city knew what had happened. And the man who had ordered it to happen, the boss, was at home smoking a cigar, reading. His wife came in and said...
I just heard the news on the radio.
What news?
Some man threw acid in somebody's face. He's a representative or a senator or something in the city.
No kidding.
Gee, that's terrible. Awful. Boy, I hope they get him, the man that did it.
Well.
And a phone call came into the boss on his private line. He listened for a long time. His cigar went out. He looked puzzled.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. Well, it's like I said. He ain't dead, but it might be better if he was. The cops are really out tonight.
Who did the job?
Oh, some punk. Steve Kleiber.
Does he know anything?
No, I don't think so. I had a good boy give him the word.
And we're in the clear. Don't worry, in a couple of days it'll quiet down.
But the boss was disturbed. His wife's reaction disturbed him. The phone call, what he had heard himself on the newscast disturbed him. The violent act had all the earmarks of a boomerang. Rather than instilling fear, the purpose for which the deed was done, it had brought out swift and great anger. Kleiber was worried, too. His girl had gone to the bar and returned empty-handed. The second $100 installment of his payment was not there. His contact had not been seen that day. The next morning, a reward of $5,000 was posted for the apprehension of the man who threw acid. And by afternoon, the prize money had risen to $12,000. Kleiber read the newspapers that night and was frightened.
Listen, honey, I better get out of here. Some of these rats get an idea to turn me in for that kind of dorm in trouble.
Yeah, maybe you better.
Look, honey, you get down to Harry's again. I need that $100. I'll have to get out of town for a while.
What's the use? He ain't going to be there. They made you a sucker.
After what I've done from you, crazy, a nice clean job. Listen, I'm going to hide out in our place. It's in town here. Till you get the dough for me, huh?
How can I get it?
Well, try, will you? He's a flop house. I'll write you down the address. If I'm not there, I'll be in the Grand Theater. You know where it is.
I know.
Okay. If anybody asks you to see me, you say, no, I left town, all right?
Okay. Hey, what about me? What do I do for money?
Money? I gave you $10 yesterday.
Well, it might take a couple of days to get your $100.
What? Yeah. You're right here. There's 20. I can't give you more.
All right.
No, look, you won't let me down, kid. If you'll find him, you'll give me the door.
What do you want me to do? Write it in blood?
All right. Thanks, honey. I'll make it up to you.
I'll bet.
I'll see you.
What a dirty little punk.
At first, only a handful of people knew who had done the job. The boss, a half a dozen of his associates, the contact man, and Cliver's girl. And then the bookmaker, Lou, remembered the incident with Cliver and Harry's bar.
Harry?
Yeah. None of the same.
Wait a minute. Hey, you seen Steve Cliver around the last couple of days?
No.
I was just wondering.
Oh.
Remember the day he was in, two, 3 days back, day the guy got a face full of acid? Remember him talking big, flashing a 20?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll tell you, his girl's been in a few times looking for an envelope he's supposed to get. She's been asking for someone, if that means anything.
Uh-huh. You know what the reward is?
Last I heard, $12,000.
$20,000. It's a big stink. I wouldn't want to be in that guy's shoes. If Steve did it, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
Me either.
The police had no leads, but they had an aroused city on their side. They weren't working alone. Every citizen was a potential ally, every news agency a powerful voice. The reward mounted. In a week, it had reached $40,000. The money was offered by the city, by indignant groups and individuals. Kleiber was no longer a punk. He was a dangerous animal, a big man. And he waited in dark places, waited for his girl to bring him $100 so that he could run further to get away.
William Conrad, always a wonderful narrator, Tony Barrett in the starring role. And some of the things that he wrote on included the Mod Squad, Burke's Law, Felony Squad, Peter Gunn, and the Snoop Sisters. The Conclusion of Suspense, The Man Who Threw Acid, July 18, 1956, is next.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Moscow is pulling out of a grain deal with Ukraine that could cripple global food supplies. The agreement had allowed Ukrainian agricultural products to pass through the Black Sea without Russian interference. Ukraine supplies 10% of the world's wheat market. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is urging the Senate to confirm more than 60 State Department nominees who've been blocked by a handful of Republicans.
These delays are undermining our national security.
and they're weakening our ability to deliver for the American people.
He said nominees are being blocked for leverage on unrelated issues, calling it irresponsible. Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy is revealing a list of Supreme Court appointments if he's elected president. The list of candidates includes Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Utah Senator Mike Lee. Ramaswamy said the list includes candidates with an originalist understanding of the Constitution. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, the conclusion of Suspense, The Man Who Threw Acid, starring Tony Barrett, with narration by William Conrad, July 18, 1956.
The police, the district attorney's office began asking questions, lots of questions, and they started with the boss. They weren't playing games now.
Why do you keep after me? I don't know anything about it. Some nut, probably, who doesn't like a no-smoking law or something. Why don't you guys lay off me?
But they didn't lay off him. And he knew something had to be done, done quickly. He called his associates together.
This city is not healthy with Clyburn running around loose. I get the feeling we better get to him before the cops do. He might know something. If he starts talking, we're all in trouble.
Shouldn't be hard. Must be a dozen guys on the look for him right now. $40,000 ain't heavy.
I don't want him turned in. I want him killed.
Yeah. Well, we'll get on it right away.
It took 3 hours. gangs, and the word was out. To every petty racketeer, hoodlum, gunman, the word was find Cliver. If you turn him into the cops, we'll get you. Just find him and pass the word to the right man. You'll get paid off. The boss wanted him dead, not alive. Cliver hadn't heard from his girl for 2 days. In desperation, he took a chance and telephoned Harry's bar, asked for the contact man. Harry said,
"That's you, Steve."
"Yeah, Harry, yeah, it's me. Is he there?"
"Where are you?"
"Never mind. Is he there?"
"Wait a minute." "Hello?"
"Listen, Steve. Listen, I want that money. I've got to have it. What are you trying to pull?"
"Oh, now, don't get excited, kid. We had a little trouble. I had to lay low. I'm sorry about it. Where are you, Steve? I'll get it to you right away."
"Never mind where I am. You give it to..."
"Your girl? Well, Steve, I would, except haven't you heard? She left town yesterday. She's gone off the coast. Now, Steve, why don't you tell me where you are and I'll get..."
He was afraid. More afraid than he'd ever been in his life. He'd read the papers, knew the whole city was after him. And now he knew from the sound of that voice, they were after him too. There was nobody to trust now. His girl, everything gone. And even in his fear, he still didn't quite understand why it was happening. He'd done the job he'd been told to do, done it well. And they'd all double-crossed him. The big boys. He didn't understand. One thing he did know now, however, he was valuable. He was worth money. But was it his life that was valuable? Or perhaps they'd find him, kill him, and then turn him in. The rewards didn't say anything about being alive. As he left the cigar store, he didn't see the proprietor pick up the telephone.
"Hello? This is Shackley on the corner of Fifth. I thought you'd like to know Steve Cliver was just in here, making a phone call. Yeah, he just went out, walking east."
"I'm in trouble. I'm in bad trouble. Punks, a lot of them double-crossed. I'm in trouble. I'm scared. Well, I shouldn't be out like this. I gotta find some place to hide out. Where get me? They'll be looking. They'll get me."
And he felt safer walking because every place, any place that he might want to go, a shelter, was now a trap. He saw the police station at exactly the same moment he saw the black car around the corner. And a sixth sense told him what was about to happen. He started to run toward the police station.
Rough ending. July 18th, 1956, Suspense on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain.
Open for business.
And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
"Oh, darling, we're going to sell bathrobes and raise chickens."
Set his adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olsen.
"Oh, I love our store, Will."
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
"Oh, Will, what will we do, Will?"
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against tough Big Ralph.
"We're going to change the face of America. We're going to advertise."
"And for what?"
"The print, broadcasting, and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are."
"What's a bus?"
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
"Oh, will it work?"
"It will. My name ain't Will, Wilhelmina. We've got to advertise or we'll die."
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or die, Dopey.
Put your message on this national advertising platform. Email classicradiotheater@gmail.com. classicradiotheater@gmail.com.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment, and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a one-week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this one-week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Bill Stacy loves these episodes, The Adventures of Jungle Jim. Here's another episode. Of course, it was a weekly that supported the local newspaper, Color Comics. This episode, July 18th, 1936, as the episode of The Purple Triangle continues.
Presenting The Adventures of Jungle Jim. Last week, Jungle Jim and Kolo overpowered two sentries in Suling Pass and changed clothes with them so that they might get to Derek Bluger's hideout without being recognized. Meanwhile, Shanghai Lil introduced herself to Lynn Chalmers and tried to find out from her the whereabouts of Jungle Jim. After Derek Bluger returned from an unsuccessful search of the hills for Jim and Kolo, he questioned the sentry who had brought word of them. Failing in their capture, he planned a trap for Jim and Kolo using Lynn Chalmers as the bait. The thrilling adventures of Jungle Jim are pictured each Sunday in the Comic Weekly, the world's greatest pictorial supplement of humor and adventure. The Comic Weekly, each page printed in full colors, is distributed everywhere as an integral part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now we continue our story. The bugle calls the camp members to attention as the door of the headquarters opens and Derek Bluger comes out accompanied by General Lin Fu and Shanghai Lil.
My purple triangle army. What do you think of it, Lil?
As fine a bunch of cutthroats and pirates as I've ever had the pleasure of running my eyes over.
Still joking like in the old days, eh?
Meeting any one of that convention of thugs wouldn't be any joke. Not to me, anyway.
Ah, you've got the point. I'm not running a national military school up here, picking the cream of Mongolian youth to wear a fancy uniform. I've collected a bunch of men who love a good fight. Men who would rather fight than eat.
Well, I haven't seen any food exactly going to waste since I got here.
Well, you needn't be so technical. You know what I mean. These boys are just straining at the leash to go down there into China and take it to pieces. As a matter of fact, I've got to be hard-boiled with them, or they're just as likely as not to turn on me and the officers.
It's an idea, isn't it?
Yes, but it's an idea they must never be allowed to get in their heads.
Oh, of course not, Derek.
I'll show these men how Derek Bluger deals with traitors.
Most high superior. Wally is no traitor. Did he not bring news of strangers?
Lin Fu is right, Derek. You must admit Wally brought the news.
Yes, that's just the point. He brought me news, when he should have brought me their dead bodies.
The camp is drawn up in assembly formation, almost high superior. We await orders.
Put Wally under military guard. Stand by him until I send for you. Oh, Lin Fu.
Yes,
fetch me my sword. I left it inside.
What are you going to do, Derek?
We'll see in a few moments. I'm sorry your Bat Kingdom broke up, Lil. I was depending on the gold you were going to send me to outfit my Purple Triangle Army. Now they'll have to stay as you see them, uniformed in a rather nondescript way.
I should think that would have its advantages, Derek.
Oh, it has, it has. For one thing, it keeps down the cost of upkeep, if you know what I mean.
Very neatly put. I quite understand.
Here is your sword, O Most High Superior.
Good. You and Lil stand over there behind me while I put the fear of Derek and Pluger into these men.
Most pleasing to do so, Most High Superior. Shanghai Lil, now you will see our great leader in action.
That's what I came all the way from Shanghai for.
Men of the Purple Triangle, we are banded together in a great cause. Control of the government of China. Some months ago, I started recruiting you secretly by ones and twos. Each man was closely examined and questioned before being accepted for service under the Purple Triangle. I told you at that time, our success will depend on the absolute secrecy we were able to maintain about our organization and, above all, the location of our headquarters here. Then, the time has come when that essential secrecy is threatened. An enemy is at this very moment somewhere within our territory. An American adventurer, Jungle Jim Bradley and his melee servant have entered Suling Pass and are heading here to our headquarters. That these men should have entered at all is treachery. Any one of you men failing to do your duty, whatever your duty happens to be, is guilty of treachery. Treachery to me, to the great cause. One man among you is responsible for this violation of our secret domain. Men of the Purple Triangle, you see before you the traitor who, by his stupidity, brought only the news of the stranger's arrival when he should have brought news of their death. For his mistake, he is to pay the penalty. Kensing, execute the prisoner here before the entire camp. Keep quiet, traitor! Go to your death with the consolation that your comrades will profit by your mistake and not follow your example. Kensing, carry out my order.
At once, Most High Superior. Quiet, forward, march!
Oh, I didn't think he'd really shoot Wally.
Shanghai Lil, whatever Most High Superior decide in name of cause, he do.
What? Oh. Most High Superior, your order carried out.
Good. Brigade commanders, front, center.
What are you going to do, Derek?
Make them toe the line. Dismount. Officers, place your hands here on my sword. Now, in the name of your soldiers and yourselves, do you solemnly swear devoted service to the cause?
We swear.
Very well. Men of the Purple Triangle, I assure you that death by a firing squad awaits any one of you who fails in his duty to me and the cause.
Meanwhile, Jungle Jim and Kolu, dressed in the clothes of the Purple Triangle sentries, make their way farther and farther into the hills, and nearer to the headquarters of Derek Bluger.
So far, so good, Kolu. We haven't been spotted yet.
Yes, it's one, Jim. Mongol men no see us.
If they hadn't killed poor Chung, our job would have been a darn sight easier.
Yes, it's one, Jim. Chung, him know where Bluger hideout.
Well, of course, Chung had to find it for himself the first time. He didn't have a guy to lead him right to it, and he found headquarters. So I guess we can do the same thing.
Yes, it's one. One head, all right. Two head, more better.
That's right, Kolo. But sometimes it depends on the kind of heads you start out with.
One, Jim.
Yeah?
Why you catch him Bluger? Him know hideout.
That's true. Bluger hasn't done anything to us, Kolo. But he's an American, same as I am. If he pulls off this revolution that he's planning, it's liable to cause trouble and bad feeling between America and China. Savvy?
Kolu, savvy, Tuan.
That's why the American consul sent for me. He felt that we Americans ought to take care of that renegade without having to call on any outsiders.
Tuan, Jim. Air wagon. Look, look. By Jove. Drop down close to the rocks, Kolu. They mustn't see us.
Oh, those sure are some planes. They must be bombers.
What thing?
Bombers.
each plane can carry enough bombs to blow up a whole village. Look up there. That plane is carrying a dozen eggs right now. See them attached to the bottom of the plane?
Eggs fall on us?
Not unless they see us crouching down here. But when the pilot wants to wipe out a town, he pulls a lever, and one of those 1,000-pound eggs start falling. Let's see, how many of the planes are there? 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 bombing planes, eh? Say, our friend Blücher sure means business, Colo. He's going at this revolution of his in up-to-date style. Look out, Colo. That plane's flying pretty low. I thought for a moment the pilot saw us.
Maybe it's more better we hide now. Go when darkness comes.
Just wait until the sky freighter's over, Colo. Then watch my dust as I head for the nearest cave.
There go air wagon, Quadrin.
Yeah, and here I go. Come on, partner.
There, big cape one.
And does it look good to me? It's too risky trying to travel by daylight. We're just plain lucky that some fool sentry hasn't poked his nose around a rock and shoved a rifle into our middles long before this.
Yes, it's one.
We'll park in this cave until it gets dark. It'll be a good chance to give me a look over Chung's map and see if I can decipher it.
This nice big cave, Tuan. And sun can shine way inside. Tuan need no campfire see map.
That's right, Colo. We'll squat right here. And I'll just have a look at that map.
Tuan.
Huh?
Blücher, him powerful chief. Him have big army on land, big army in sky. How you, me, catch him? Go back, bring Chinese army?
No, Colo. Blücher is so well entrenched in this area, it would be foolish to try to bring an army up here. Blücher could surround them from the hills, close off the entrance of this pass, and wipe out every man jack of them.
How me you catch them?
Well, if we're lucky, we can get right to Bluger's camp without being recognized.
Long way in camp, Tuan Jim. Luck no last all time.
Yeah, I know, Colo. But we'll just have to hope our luck holds out. Anyway, we'll hide in the hill and learn Bluger's habits and routine. Then we'll slip in and nip this budding revolution.
How?
Why? We'll take Derek Blücher prisoner. That night, Blücher confers with his second-in-command, General Lin Fu, and Shanghai Lil.
Well, my friends, as the well-known walrus once said, the time has come.
The feet of many things. Why don't you finish it, Derek?
Listen, baby, if you don't stop getting so technical. As I started to say before I was so crudely interrupted, the time has come for me to spring the trap for Jungle Jim Bradley.
What is plan, Most High Superior?
I intend to use the girl Lin Chalmers as the bait.
Say, if you couldn't get any information out of her, you certainly aren't going to get any cooperation.
Oh, no. Just wait and see. I've sent Yen Sing to get her ready.
Get her ready? What are you doing? Giving her a going-away outfit?
Very neatly put, Lil. Very. That's exactly what I'm giving her. A going-away outfit.
Excuse, please, Most High Superior. I not understand. Is this some comicality?
No, Lin Fu. This isn't any joke. Perfectly serious and on the level. You'll see. Come in.
Everything now ready. Girl here, Most High Superior.
Let's see her.
Go inside, Missy.
Why, she doesn't look any different to me, Derek. She's still wearing the same dress.
Lil, my dear, there are going-away outfits and going-away outfits. I'm here, Miss Thomas.
So, Mr. Blücher, you finally regained your senses and are letting me go.
I'm letting you go. Let's leave it at that. And though you've managed to hold your tongue and not disclose the whereabouts of your boyfriend, this time you'll reveal him to us.
Oh, will I?
Yes, my dear, you certainly will. You won't be able to do anything else.
How can I reveal Jim's whereabouts when I don't know it myself?
Let's have the other side of that record, sister. You've got the grooves worn pretty thin on that one.
You keep out of this, Lil. Let her say what she likes. There's that old saw about actions speaking louder than words. And believe me, Miss Chalmers' actions are going to positively shout.
I don't know what you're talking about. And I doubt if you really do yourself.
Hooray! Score. One for the common people. Blücher, nothing.
All right. Here's where Blücher scores and wins the game. Come on, Lin Fu. Lil. Bring the girl, Yen Sing.
Yes, Most High Superior.
Where are you taking me?
No place. I'm sending you. Yen Sing. Lin Fu.
Yes, Most High Superior.
Put Miss Chalmers on the horse. Tie her securely in the saddle.
No, I'm here,
Missy. But Derek, the girl's arms are tied behind her back.
Of course. That's the whole point.
I'm betting on Jim Bradley being Boy Scout enough to fall for the Maiden in Distress gag.
Pretty clever, Derek. Pretty clever.
Why, my dear, are you just finding that out?
Girl tied on back of horse, most high superior.
Good. Now open the gates of the camp and let her go. There she goes. And it won't be long before we'll have Jungle Jim Bradley popping out of his hiding place like a jack-in-the-box.
Will Derek Kluger's trap for Jungle Jim work? The adventures you have just heard dramatized are pictured in full-color action pictures in the Comic Weekly, the big Comic Weekly distributed with your Hearst Sunday newspaper everywhere. In the world's greatest supplement of humor and adventure, the Comic Weekly, you will find all the famous characters who live in the world of color pictures. There's Bringing Up Father. And now, Gina Hearn's latest contribution to the world of comic pictures, the antics of Judge Piffle in Room and Board. There's Skippy, Soots and Casper, the Katzenjammer Kids, and many others. Also the feature known as Heroes of American History. Don't forget our date next week, same time, same station, for a continuation of the adventures of Jungle Jim.
Matt Crowley portraying Jungle Jim in this episode from July 18th, 1936. Gerald Moore would play the show from 1938 onward. We'll play Jungle Jim in the episodes later onwards. The show ran from 1935 until early 1950 and maybe as late as 1954. The Adventures of Jungle Jim here on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. That's another thing that Buy Me a Coffee will go toward, is finding us some more episodes of shows like Jungle Jim that are rarities and are a lot of fun as well. You can buy me a coffee by going to classicradio.stream. There you can find how you can stream our shows on demand. You can download our shows, and you can learn more about building a classic radio collection of your own. You can contact me and find all of our social media links there. classicradio.stream. Thanks for tuning in. Tell all your friends the great radio shows are right here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
4215.